Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Been moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayambhunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning. Go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is the Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabo, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast.
Hey there, it's John Sabo coming to you from Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, my base now for 7 months. This is the longest I have been in any one spot for at least 7 or 8 years. It's actually been quite interesting to be in one place. There's been a lot of things that have happened that, of course, have put us all in a predicament similar to this. But, you know, you just do what you have to do and you get through it. I've just finished my lunch here. I ordered my lunch in from Grab. And, you know, these guys, and there's women as well that are Grab drivers, like they ride around on a motorbike and they pick up food for people. They are one of the unsung heroes, I have to tell you, I think. I believe, anyways, of this whole pandemic situation. They're delivering food and keeping people happy and, you know, keeping the restaurants going. It's utterly amazing. These people are just phenomenal, and I don't think they get the credit that they deserve, like so many others that are helping us get through this pandemic. So anyways, I had a banh mi for lunch. I had a vegan vegetarian banh mi, and I had three spring rolls with some of the peanut sauce. So that was really good. And then I just took a little rest to talk to somebody that I know that listens to this podcast in Australia. He was giving me an update on Melbourne and what's going on there. And now I'm here doing this podcast and sharing with you what's going on here in Southeast Asia, and actually the rest of the region, East Asia, even for that matter, or South Asia. So I'm just going to do a quick run through on, you know, what's going on here with the countries. Again, getting lots of inquiries about when are things going to open up. The place that shows the most promise for opening up to international travelers at this point is Phuket Island in Thailand. So I'm going to tell you all about that if you haven't heard already. And I'm sure if you visit Thailand every year, you're probably no doubt up on all what's going on there. But I'll share that with you, as well as what else is going on in the region. So thank you again for your support and your patience. And I'm doing my best here to try to bring you some new, fresh content and try to keep you inspired that, you know, through all this, we are still going to be traveling at some point again, and we will be able to do all the things that we are dreaming of doing right now. And no doubt it'll be happening in hopefully the not too distant future. So let me run down the region, and I'm going to start with the one that shows the most promise for opening up to international tourism. Now, am I endorsing travel right now? Not necessarily. I think there's still a lot of variables that you have to be aware of when you are traveling. And if you're prepared for all of that and being away from home for, you know, who knows how long, then maybe this is something that you would want to look at if you qualify. But what is really looking like the most promise for opening up to tourism is Thailand, and specifically Phuket or Phuket Island. And they seem to be the most aggressive as far as the plan to reopen. The reports initially were October 1st, but that has not been confirmed, I believe, by the government. It was local media that was talking about that, and that's not necessarily going to happen. It's possible, but not necessarily going to happen October 1st, but it is the plan. So this is really the most aggressive one, it seems, other than the Maldives, which we'll talk about as well. But the Phuket model is what they're calling it, and I think they're dubbing it this because I'm sure that the plan, you know, the organization of it can be used for a lot of other regions as well. So basically, it's based on what they call the five T's, which is target, testing, tracing, treatment, and trust. You will have to visit Thailand or Phuket for at least 30 days. So this is not for casual travelers. This is really a program to get the sort of long-term traveler business going again. They believe that there's actually potentially 100,000 people that they could be picking up on that would want to take part in this program. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of people that come to Southeast Asia for the wintertime every year. I've spoken to so many through my travels, whether they have a favorite place like Thailand or Vietnam or Cambodia or Laos. I mean, you know, people have their favorite place, but they always come to the region every year. And this could be for some of those people that have, you know, the means to do it, and also the wherewithal, like to, you know, be in this type of situation far away from home. And, you know, I think it's for people that already know the lay of the land, and they're just coming back to, you know, what they do all the time. This could be for them. Again, there's so many variables here that you have to really think this through if you want to do something like this. But nevertheless, you have to have at least 30 days committed to visiting Phuket. The first 14, you are going to be under quarantine, and you're going to be put up in a government-approved resort or hotel. You're going to be paying for all that, but they're going to choose it for you. So you're not going to have any choice in that. This is going to be a pre-selected resort or hotel. Now, you are allowed to wander within a 1 kilometer radius of the resort. So I'm assuming that these resorts are in a more isolated area, that they're putting them down the beach somewhere or in the hills or, you know, wherever it is around Phuket. You're going to be sort of in an area where if you wandered away for 1 kilometer, you're not going to be in the general population. So you're going to be allowed to do that for 14 days. And then after which, if you test negative for COVID-19, then you'll be allowed to visit the rest of the island at your leisure. Now, back up again, too, you have to have a COVID test before you arrive in Thailand as well. And I believe it has to be good for 72 hours. So if it's more than 72 hours past that test, then it wouldn't be valid. So that would be another thing. But you can clear all this up with your local Thai embassy or consulate, which you'll have to visit. You'll have to get your visa in advance if you wanted to take part of this program, even if this program is going to go through after all. But like I said before, the local media were reporting that they were going to open on October 1st, but that date doesn't look certain right now. So you'll have to go to your embassy, your local Thai embassy or consulate, and confirm that with them and everything else as well. Because what I'm telling you right now, they might even be changing as I'm telling you this. They might be changing some of the rules. So you will also have to be from one of the few select countries that they will allow in at this time as well. And I believe that these are countries that have had low cases of COVID-19. But you'll have to check. Again, they're not listing off the countries. I haven't seen any lists in all the reports that I've looked at of countries. There's only been speculation. So you'll have to, again, consult with the embassy or the consulate. You'll also have to fly directly to Phuket from outside the country. So Phuket will have to be your first port of entry into Thailand. No transfers from Bangkok. You cannot transfer from anywhere else in Thailand. You have to fly directly to the island from outside of the country. So you will also have to find a place where you can get a direct flight to Phuket, even if you qualify for all these things. And you can go, you still have to get to a place that's going to allow you to visit there, even if it's just for a transfer, so you can get on a plane to go to Phuket. So, you know, that's where the variables come in. That's where, okay, maybe right now it's okay to transfer from Incheon Airport in Korea or Narita or someplace like that. I don't know if it is, by the way, but, you know, let's just say if it is right now, it might not be in 2 weeks. So that's another variable that comes into play, whether, you know, you're going to be able to transfer through that airport where you can pick up a direct flight to Phuket, and there's going to be limited flights as well. And things are changing all the time. You know, a few weeks ago, Hong Kong was only allowing people to transit through Hong Kong airport if they were going to be there for 8 hours or less. And that might have changed now, too. So first thing you'd have to do if you wanted to take part in this program is you're going to have to check with the local Thai embassy or consulate first to see even if your country qualifies, or they're going to allow citizens from your country to participate in the Phuket model. So that's where you'll have to get your visa from. There will not be any visas on arrival granted to people that want to take part of this program. All has to be done ahead of time. So that is the deal on Thailand for all those people just dying to get out from wherever they are and come to Southeast Asia for the wintertime. But really, it is for those people that I think, in my mind, really kind of know the lay of the land. They maybe they already have visited Thailand many times. They know how everything works, and they're coming back to something familiar. And there are a lot of people I know that do that every year. So let's run down the rest of the list here. So just to clear up anything, China has allowed select countries to once again enter the country. Beijing seems to be the gateway, at least one of the big gateways. I don't know if Shanghai is, but I know for sure Beijing is. And you have to be coming from a country with low COVID cases. And it is only open to people with resident permits, including work permits and family reunion and personal matters of that. So not for casual travelers. So whatever you've heard, it's just for people that come under that umbrella at the moment. So as of September 3rd, China had opened up direct flights from Thailand, Cambodia, Pakistan, Greece, Denmark, Sweden, and Canada. So here's the thing. Whenever you see or hear about these flights opening up, it doesn't necessarily mean that this is for international travel. In pretty much all cases, it's just to accommodate people that have been trying to get back home or visit family, or they have work permits that they're holding and they have a job to start. That's why they are opening up these flights, just to facilitate those things. So the other place that, you know, if you have the means, because it's not a cheap place to visit, and you really are dying to get away somewhere, and, you know, you have the wherewithal to deal with all of this stuff, and you're not worried about getting stuck somewhere, Maldives is another place that is open. And from what I understand, the research I've done, you don't even need a COVID-19 test to enter Maldives, which is a little bit scary. But that seems to be the rule at the moment. So the thing is, you can arrive in Maldives from the reports I've seen. You can get your visa on arrival, but you have to stay at the same resort the whole visit. So it's kind of, in a way, like the Phuket model. Like they've kind of, it's a quarantine, but it's not called a quarantine. So you can't travel anywhere else. And the way the Maldives is set up anyways, I mean, everybody goes to those little remote islands in the Maldives anyways. That's where everybody stays. They go to all those really beautiful, fancy resorts with the pagoda that's, you know, the little houses that they sleep in over the water and stuff like that. And it really looks like paradise. But you will pretty much be isolated. So you can't wander and travel around Maldives. You're going there to that one resort, and you're going to stay there the whole time, if you so desire to do that. So, and as I said, they're not even requiring COVID cases to, or COVID tests to arrive and visit Maldives for now. So the other place I talked about in one of my last episodes of the Far East Travels podcast was Nepal. And I have a very, well, close relationship with Nepal. I have been visiting Nepal for the last 10 years. I've been there 9 times in the last 10 years. I have, you know, partners that I work with there on projects. And, you know, I know how tough it is on the people there. I really know people personally in the tourism business. And, you know, when you're talking about a country like Nepal that's, you know, very poor to begin with and then has, you know, 20% of their skin in the tourism business, I mean, it's a huge, devastating blow to a lot of people that really, really can only put food on the table with the tourists. So it's been very hard to watch. And there was talk of Nepal opening up September 1st for the fall trekking season, but it really doesn't look like that's going to be happening anytime soon. The cases have been going up. And this past week, protests broke out and clashes with police occurred when followers came to worship the rain god Machindranath. This is a very, very important festival in Lalitpur. You might also know it as Patan. Lalitpur encompasses the whole area of that part of the Kathmandu Valley. And it's actually 2 chariots that are built every year, and they put the deities of these gods on, and they meet up at a certain point. And I believe that the Machindranath rain gods, it's like there's a female incarnation and a male incarnation, and they kind of meet up. It's something like that, loosely translated. These chariots are massive. They're 5 stories high. I have seen them worship at these chariots before during the earthquakes in 2015 when they had to put the chariot rain god festival on hold. And this was back in May of 2015, and it should have taken place by April. And it's the same thing with this year, because there was a lockdown. They have put this festival off. This festival should happen in the spring, and it's been delayed because of the lockdowns in Nepal. And I suppose it just boiled over with the people there, because there's been a ban on religious gatherings and public gatherings for some time now. And I think it just boiled over, and a bunch of people just went down there to worship at the chariot, and the police came and they threw rocks at the police, and there was a water canyon truck that the police had down there they used. And it seemed like it really got out of hand. So, you know, that being said, there's probably not going to be any tourism there for some time, at least until perhaps 2021. So they will miss the fall trekking season in Nepal. The last place that I'm going to talk about is Singapore, because it's such an important hub in Southeast Asia. So much travel is based out of Singapore, or so many people transit through Singapore. It's such an important transit area for travel throughout Southeast Asia, and South Asia for that matter. So Singapore, they've been opening it up to business travel. So again, if you see, you know, flights being resumed to Singapore, this is really mostly to accommodate foreign workers or people on business. And they have a green lane for China so that, you know, people from China can come and go, and people from Singapore can come and go to China with ease. So all of these airline openings that you're hearing about now, this is mostly just to accommodate that sector. And then finally, coming back to Vietnam. Oh my, you know, I have so many people that always inquire with me, because of course I'm here right now, I'm on the ground. I talk a lot about Vietnam, about when are they going to open up to the rest of the world. And it's not looking like that's going to happen, at least this year, but we don't know. Nobody knows for sure. I noticed that they had a campaign that they're starting that's directed at international tourism from Vietnam tourism. And it was specific to like different regions that have, you know, specialty food, you know, different types of travel. Looks really interesting, and an interesting campaign. So why are they doing that now? I don't know. Maybe they're planning for the return of travelers in a few months, in 6 months, maybe 3 or 4 months. Nobody knows for sure. But they have been opening up flights again through certain countries, mostly within Southeast Asia. And again, this is mostly to accommodate travel, business travel, sorry, not travel tourism, but business travel. And there's been more changes in visa. I just renewed my visa for another 3 months, but now apparently they're not allowing at the moment, tourist visas to be renewed for more than a month at a time right now. Now, that was actually supposed to change in July, but they felt that it was easier with these people that are all here and people like myself, that it was just easier to forego the 1 month renewal and just allow people to renew every 3 months. But they've changed that. So we don't know what's going to happen, if they're going to go back to that, or if now it's going to revert to 1 month, or does that mean that something else is around the corner? We don't know. They're sending out more repatriation flights. I just got a picture from, my friend in Melbourne, Dave, if you're listening, of a Bamboo Airways plane at the airport in Melbourne. And that plane was there probably to repatriate Vietnamese. There's still a lot of Vietnamese living and learning abroad that are wanting to come back home, that they're still trying to get back home. So they're sending out random flights to these different parts of the world to get Vietnamese back home. So when you see one of those flights, it's not necessarily for tourism. So that's the situation right now. And all we can do is just hope that we get this under control. The interesting thing about the Phuket model, which I don't think it's a bad idea, but again, it's such a small segment of tourism. It's not designed, you know, it doesn't allow for people to come here just for 2 weeks. You have to be one of these long-term travelers. But maybe that's where we start.